everyone, and welcome to another episode of Friend Request. I am one of your hosts, Colin Detmar of Scanline Media, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Jennifer Hunkel, also from Scanline Media.
Yes, indeed. One of these days, we'll figure out a way to do this intro that isn't awkward. I'm counting on it. We'll get there. One of those things you just get used to with more and more episodes. But
yeah, got a lot of game characters to burn through to get to that point.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, this week we've got a little theme going, because this episode is going to be Pokemon themed. So, I'm going to start out with a pair of characters from Pokemon Emerald, Sapphire, and Ruby. So this is the player character, the player trainer from those games, and Wally, the primary rival from those games. Did you play a lot of Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald?
I can't remember a single thing about that that specific Pokemon game, unfortunately. Sorry.
That's fair. Overall, I think it is among the more forgettable of the main series Pokemon games, but Wally is a really interesting rival because he's not... I feel like, in a way, he's the real protagonist of that game. Wally is he first appears in the first city, actually maybe the second city, I don't remember exactly how the cities go, but he is a sick young boy, like sickly, I should say. He has a chronic condition of some sort. Its nature is never really made clear, but sort of generically he has a condition and he's sickly, right? And he walks into a nearby gym and asks the gym leader to help him catch a Pokemon before he goes to live with his aunt and uncle. He wants a Pokemon that he can, he can be friends with and keep him company for this move to a new city. And the gym leader is like, that's a good idea. Here, I'll lend you my Pokemon, and how about I have my kid come with you? And that kid is the player character. Because in that one, you're the child of a gym leader. And that also, by the way, is really cool in that game, how that dynamic plays out.
Huh.
But, like, this is a rival that you're introduced a little ways into the game, and you teach him how to capture a Pokemon. And he captures a Ralts, and then, like, goes off, and is like, oh, great, I've got my Pokemon, I've got someone to, I've got a friend to have, and he sort of goes off. And this whole time, you're already on your Pokemon journey. And you're going along down, and you do some more gyms, and you go to another gym, and Wally comes in with his Ralts, and is like, I wanna challenge the gym leader, and his uncle's with him, and he's like, Wally, this is a really bad idea. We should go home. You can't challenge the gym leader. And he's like, no, I'm super tough. Check this out. Oh, hey, it's the guy who, like, or gal, who helped me, catch this Pokemon. Look, I'll beat them, and you'll know that I'm strong, and I should take on the gym leader. And you kick his butt, right? And it's like, oh.
And okay. I'm guessing he resents you for that pretty significantly.
No, he doesn't, actually. He's a really nice rival in that, like, he's really determined, but he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I wasn't ready for this yet. And he's like, you know what, Uncle, you were right. This was a bad idea. I'm going to train and I'm going to get stronger. And then Wally kind of disappears from the game for a while. Unless you're really paying attention. Because there are, like, I think it's the Poke Gear in that. You know, like your little watch that you can, like, listen to the radio and check the news and stuff with. And if you're paying attention to the news, and then also if you examine, when you beat gyms, your name gets added to the gym statue, right? That's a thing that's been in every Pokemon game, is you beat a gym and then up near the front there are these statues and you can click on them. It's like, oh, there's my name on there. And you start going along and you're the only name on these statues, and then you start coming into gyms and you're like, Wally's name is on this statue.
Huh.
That's interesting. And you can check the news and be like, huh, this kid Wally is just taking down these gyms left and right, huh? He's just going on a tear. And he becomes like goes from being the kid that you taught how to do Pokemon and sort of watched him incompetently fumble through it to being this like juggernaut, but there's never a lot of malice. It's just like he wants to be recognized and he wants to push himself, and even though for a lot of the game he's stronger than you, he still sort of looks up to you as to what a trainer should be. And when you both get all 8 badges and go down Victory Road, he's waiting for you, and he's like, okay, let's have this fight. Let's not, like, settle this exactly, but kind of like, let me show you how much I've grown. And then you beat him anyway, and he's like, that's okay. I feel good about this. I'll check you later, man. And it's just really nice.
Aww.
So many rivals in these games, like, I mean, you know, Red and Blue, he's just kind of a little prick. Is Blue / Gary. Gold and Silver. Silver is a criminal. You know, maybe we'll talk about that in another episode, but like, Wally is this really nice, like, feel-good story where there's never any malice, but he's still, like, super determined, and he's really pretty intense as a rival.
Yeah, he sounds pretty great. I actually, for my choice, which was going to be How, I kind of thought that this was going to be a bit more of a unique spin on the Pokemon rival system, but now that you're talking about the specific character, they sound pretty similar in the terms of them being just super nice kids.
Yeah, Wally's a lot more competitive than How. Like, Wally is really good-natured about it, but he's also really... Wally is like me when I'm playing fighting games, right? I'm well-intentioned, but I'm pretty fucking focused.
Oh, yeah.
And I think How is a lot more just along for the ride. But please, your pair, go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah. How is this 11-year-old kid who's basically sort of like you in Pokemon Ruby Sapphire. He's the son of that game's version of gym leaders, essentially. And from the very beginning, he's not really in it to win fights at all. He just enjoys fighting with friends. So when you choose your Pokemon, he always tends to choose the one that's the weakest to it. And he just kind of... He's the most pushover of a rival you've ever seen. Like, you will be constantly defeating him without having to grind or anything like that. And he's pretty good-natured about it. Because he doesn't really... He has a pretty easygoing attitude towards all of it. But as things kind of progress, the battles start to have a bit more consequence to them. And when people like Lily are in danger and he's unable to, he once again loses, it starts to take a bit of a darker turn for him. Like he doesn't turn evil or anything like that. He just realizes, oh, okay, so there's some things in my life that are actually worth trying my very hardest and winning no matter what to try and essentially save my friends. So he basically gets kind of serious at some point and goes, okay, I'm going to focus and become very, very good at Pokemon training so I can be there for my friends. And there's also that, since he's so kind, you kind of also see him have pretty severe moments of heartbreak, which is... It's something we don't really get to see with many male characters even now. Like, when he's unable to save Lily that one time, you get to see him be very dour and depressed. And when at the very... I guess, is it okay for me to spoil the end of Pokemon Sun and Moon? Or...
We'll just do a real quick hit. Spoiler warning, yeah, as we say, for Pokemon Sun and Moon. But also, like, I mean... I think Sun and Moon does a much better job with story than a lot of Pokemon games, but it is still a Pokemon game, so I don't know that it's that big a deal.
Yeah. You basically... Lily decides to just leave the islands without telling How that she's going, and How's pretty heartbroken by that to the point where he pretty much cries on camera, and that's a pretty interesting thing to show. You come to feel a lot for him in ways that you don't for any other typical rival archetype, because the way that I see it, most of the rivals before then, before this game, were just a specific rival stereotype, while mm-hmm. Hao is more Hao, and mm-hmm. that makes him incredibly engaging and just fun to be around in a way that most rivals aren't at all.
Well, and like, it's, I heard a lot of this around the launch of Sun and Moon, and I think it's fairly true that, like, Hao's not the rival. You're the rival. You're, like, you're the person who has this rivalry in your head, and it's not really two-sided. Hao likes you, you're Hao's friend, but there's no, like, he doesn't have this whole lot of, like, oh, I have to beat them going on. He just doesn't have that.
Yeah, he's totally not taking it as seriously as you do. So, I guess when you put it that way, I've never really thought about it that way. If you're doing the one, all the position, if you're the one doing the mental positioning because you've had history with the series, it kind of makes you an aggressor in ways that the other games wrote off by having more aggressive people face you.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but it's, you know, it's like when you're playing Mario Kart and you have the one friend who's taking it really seriously. And it's like, that's okay, but, like, nobody else here is taking it that seriously, dude.
It's like the person who shows up to Smash Brothers with a proper Nintendo GameCube pad instead of just their Wiimote or whatever.
What are you trying to say, Jen? We're gonna get real right now? Is this what we're doing right now? Is this an intervention? Are you got something to say? I'm right here. I'm listening.
No. I was just yeah. You're fine playing however you like.
I'm just screwing around. All right, guys. That's been another episode. Another quick little hit for our Pokemon one. I imagine we'll end up doing another Pokemon one because these are fun to do, and there's some good little relationships in here. Not, you know, if any part of Pokemon's writing is strong, it tends to be characters rather than any grander plot, let's say. So I want to give a shout out to Krista Lee for use of her song Hearts Burning Bright off of the album Welcome to the Fantasy Zone, which we are using as our intro and outro music here. You can find it on her Bandcamp at opoorpup.bandcamp.com. We're really grateful for the chance to use this track for our podcast. We're going to get to a point where just saying that is just like, this is routine. We thank her. But like right now, it's still like, I'm still kind of amazed that we got it and really excited.
Yeah.
So
it's great.
Yeah. And if you like our work here, you can find us at scanlinemedia.com. Or if you want to help us cover more stuff, you could go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Any money you contribute there helps us get more games and more equipment for covering games. None of it goes into our pockets. Now, if you want to contact us personally, you can find me at 6264 on Twitter. And you can find Jen at JBU3. Thanks so much, everybody. We will see you next episode.
Have a good one.